Welcome to episode 272 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite places, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, George, Elizabeth, and Sandy. During the Christmas season, a staple of most European cities is the Christmas market. Donna got to go on an AMA Waterways Rhine River cruise in December that specializes in visiting these great festival events. If you are looking for local craftsmen selling their wares, tasty food and wine, entertainment and fun, then this is where you want to be. So let's get started. So, Donna, tell us about the beer.
Right to the chip.
It was really, really, really yummy. German beer is my favorite, so I was happy as a clam.
Wow. Is that why you chose this itinerary? Because of the destination?
No, actually, it was basically kind of the dates. What we had to do it with, this was a familiarization trip. So, basically, we had three choices, and I picked two of them on the Rhine, and then there was one on the Danube that just had the dates correct that I could really get away. And so that's really what clinched it, was dates. They picked me for that one. So
where did you start off?
We started off in Amsterdam. And I'm one of those people that if I'm going to pay for airfare to go to a place and I have an event to do or some kind of an expo or whatever, I'm going to take a couple extra days and actually explore it, because if you're sitting in meetings all day, you don't actually get to see anything of that city.
Lindsay doesn't know anything about adding extra time to trips.
Kind of the queen of that. That's the.
So we added, we flew in on one day, and then we added two whole days to play around in Amsterdam. And so I'm an art person, so we went to the Rijksmuseum, tried to get to the Van Gogh Museum, and the times just didn't quite work. We did lots of shopping and wandering, ate really, really good food. And it turns out behind the Rijksmuseum is actually Amsterdam's Christmas market.
Oh.
And it was very, very tiny. And I would advise, if that's what you're going for, skip it.
But there's lots of other things to do in Amsterdam. So.
Oh, yes, yes. But there was only probably 15 or 20 stalls. Hmm. I mean, it was very, very tiny.
Do you think they have another one somewhere? Because sometimes big cities like that will have three or four. Do you think maybe you just didn't get to the big one?
That definitely could be. I didn't hear about any others.
Staggered on different dates, too, sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. And so what happens is we got on the ship, and actually that was our first port of call, is actually Amsterdam. So we just spent the night there that one day. The next day they took everybody on the ship on a canal cruise. And actually, so we were able to do one of the things that my mom really wanted to do, and that was go through the canals and have a detailed explanation about all the architecture and the history of the area. So it really made a huge difference in getting to know the city.
So I've done this itinerary in reverse, and when you do it in reverse, you also overnight in Amsterdam, but there were choices for the excursion. So you said there was just one, it was just the canal cruise for this one?
For this one, because everybody checked in, and you could go back out into the city the night before or that night. Most people didn't, because they checked in later in the day. Once we got in, we had to cast off by about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we got up, had breakfast, went to the canal cruise, which was about 2 or 3 hours, and then we cast off. So there really wasn't a lot of time to do anything else. Unless you did pre or post cruise activities through AMA Waterways.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So what's the weather like at this time of year in Amsterdam?
Rainy. Chilly and rainy. We didn't run into any snow whatsoever. It was raining part of the time. About half the time it was sunny, which we were told was very rare. you expect the rain and cold. So it was about 40 degrees.
My kind of weather.
Ooh. So yeah, before we get any further, I just realized we didn't ask you, did you have your luggage?
I did! I think I finally broke the curse! And nobody broke their toes either.
Excellent.
You know.
Excellent. Nice. So. You're getting better.
I am.
I bet your mom was like anymore. Keeping up with everything. That's such like a mom.
Well, I made her wear steel toe shoes.
Uh-huh. So from Amsterdam, you go to Cologne, right?
Yes, Cologne. So one of the things that AMA does, even with when it's a Christmas markets, they always do some kind of a city tour. And we went through the city and we had a guide and everything and went through the big cathedral because that's one of the main things. And it's smack dab in the middle of Cologne. Yeah. And you could do, they usually offer a couple of different excursions. You can always have a city tour. Sometimes you have culinary tour, whether it's wine, beer, food, or some kind of an active tour. So it's hiking, biking, you know, something along those lines. But with all of the tours, you would complete it after about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then you had free time in the markets.
So when you do
and that one
city tour, do they give you like a headset, or do you have to stand really close to the guide? How does that
work? Headsets, yes, it really made so much difference because you would get it and they didn't have to shout. You didn't have these huge groups. You could really look at things but still hear what was going on in your ear. And you didn't necessarily have to stand there and watch the guide the whole time.
Nice.
And which ship was this?
This was the Amastella.
Okay.
So I remember the Cologne Christmas market in the sense that it was being put up when I was there. There's an ice skating rink, right? With a little bridge over it. Did they have that this year?
I didn't see that because it was so unlike most markets that were very centrally located. This one had 15 different markets that you could go to
in different city squares.
And they only really pointed out three of them to us. The main one right there at the cathedral. Then there was one, I can't remember the German word. And of course it's, you know, 10 miles long to remember, but it's the little people, the little dwarfs or elves or something that would come and like do all the chores, and they disappeared because they weren't appreciated. So it was mainly wood carving and craftsmen and that kind of thing in that market. And then there was a further one that we didn't actually get to, which was based on all nautical things.
Oh, interesting.
So they each all had different themes.
So was food a staple in all of them or in only some of them? Was there just...
Oh, yes. You could always get potato pancakes. You could get beer. You could get Glühwein. You could get hot chocolate. You could get Kinder Punch, which was for the little kids. It was basically hot fruit punch.
That sounds revolting.
So it gets them used to the flavor. Yeah.
Kind of like apple cider?
No, it was like Hawaiian punch.
Hot farm in the sun, Hawaiian punch is what I'm imagining.
I mean, I don't really like Hawaiian punch as it is, so that's really not a fair comparison.
But it had the mulling spices in it too. Okay. So it really was, or maybe it was like grape juice or something, but it was definitely, it had a similar flavor.
So did they take you from market to market, or did they basically just say, go on back out and have a good time? What was the sort of sense of organization?
They kind of pointed out a few different things in different areas to go to. And we walked through the markets to get to whatever our excursion was or whatever tour we were taking. But then once the tour was over, they basically said, okay, you're on your own. Be back at the ship by such and such a time. And if you're not there, then you have to find your way to the next port.
Okay. I have a general question about the markets. Did you find them to be unique, or did you find that you kept seeing some of the same stuff over and over again?
A little of both. They all had different feels to them. However, you could still find some of the same like goods and same kinds of things. I mean, you could always find a cheesemonger. You could always find some kind of a sausage merchant. You would always find Christmas ornaments, but they may, some of them were handmade, some of them were manufactured. You could always find the Glühwein stands. You could always find food stands with popcorn and those kinds of things. So there were certain staples, but they also had, like I said, had different feel to them. Like one of them, the one in Rüdesheim, was actually more of an international market. So you had countries represented from all over the world that had their own little booths that would come in. And then the one in Strasbourg was very, very French, you know, of course. So some of them were a little much bigger. Some of them were very spread out. Some of them were very centrally located. It really just, it kind of depended on the city.
So the one you said that they had like international like booths, was there a U.S. one?
No, I really didn't see anything that was American. I remember seeing a
picture, and it was from it wasn't from this year, I don't think, but it might have been Heidi.
I think Heidi might have. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
It was like, this is what they chose to represent the United States. I can't remember what it was. It's been a couple years, but
we should have been.
I didn't see one, but like in Strasbourg, one of the whole squares, one of the real the sections that were actually, it was all Lebanon.
Oh.
Lebanon was the country that had won the draw that year. So they, all the booths were Lebanese.
Nice.
So you sort of, you apply to be represented at this market then?
Correct. Interesting. Correct.
Interesting. That would be nice.
And so you would get, you know, hummus, and you would get pitas and things like that, and kebabs at this particular square in this particular market.
So I'm interested because I've done this itinerary without the Christmas markets as the focus, although I did stumble on a few Christmas markets, as I mentioned. In Cologne, we actually had a beer night that was like, we went to a restaurant for dinner and had Kolsch. Did you, is that part of your?
We actually opted not to.
Oh, okay. But it was an option.
It was an option, but they were going to the Goffel, Kolsch restaurant, which was on the main square, but you can get Goffel here in the United States. So what my mom and I did is actually we found this little hole in the wall brew pub called St. Peter or Peter's. And we went there and did Kolsch tastings on our own because, you know, then we were a little more local, a little more authentic.
That's cool.
So you felt totally comfortable like venturing off and not worried about getting back to the ship or getting lost or anything like that?
No. Well, there was a little bit of that because you want to make sure that sometimes you had to catch the bus, like in Strasbourg. So we came in, it was a 30, 45 minute drive, or I'm sorry, Heidelberg. Mm-hmm. Nope, it was Strasbourg. So it was like a 30 or 45 minute drive by bus to get to Strasbourg from the port.
Well, Heidelberg is a bus ride too, so I think that's a fair mistake because Heidelberg is not right there either, right?
Yes, and so you wanted to make sure that you caught the bus because if you didn't catch the bus, then you're kind of screwed. So, but luckily they gave us several times to catch the bus. It's like, okay, well, if you want to do this or you wanted to do the Gegenbach advent calendar or whatever, you had to be on this bus, the first bus leaving, in order to get back in time, in order to do it. We opted not to do that. We were like, you know what, we're having a good time. We ended up sitting there at a restaurant and having some lunch and just taking our sweet time, and we caught a bus like 2 or 3 hours later.
Okay. An AMA bus or a public bus?
AMA bus.
Right. So
they had chartered buses for us, so that way, and then one of them, we were in Rüdesheim, and they had like it was almost like a train at a zoo. So it was a little like trolley train that you got on, and you get, basically they took you from the town and up to through the port. Now you could have hoofed it if you wanted to.
I hoofed it. I don't remember having it. I'm a little jealous you had a trolley train because it was raining when I was in Rüdesheim. We had to walk.
Yeah, we had a little trolley train that took us, you know, back and forth. And if you didn't want to walk, then you could take the train. Mm. So
yeah, a little jealous of that. Did you have the coffee in Rudesheim? That's a big thing there.
I did not. Oh, I did not. I went for the beer because I actually personally don't drink coffee. But that's definitely something that if you are a coffee drinker, you should try because it has the brandy in it and the whipped cream and the chocolate flakes with coffee. Yes.
That was something that was one of those things. There's not a whole lot to do in Rudesheim, and the weather was bad. So I think there's a cable car or something that'll take you up the mountain, but we couldn't do it because the weather was bad. And so we sort of were like, okay, we'll do this coffee thing. And it was really tasty. And it's really, I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing where you watch them make it and you're like, oh, I can do that at home. And you get home and you're like, nah, it's too much.
You got to have the right brand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
the other thing is in Rudesheim, they actually offered 5 different excursions, 3 of them at one time and 2 of them later in the evening.
That's nice.
So you actually got to do 2 different things in one day.
I like that. I like that when you have options to do.
Yes, I do too.
This sounds just like the itinerary for my 2021 group, only it's not Christmas time.
It is very, very similar, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm enjoying comparing it to the one I did that wasn't Christmas markets, because it's actually very similar. So it's just, we didn't have Christmas markets, so they filled in with other things. So,
oh, believe me, I spent pretty penny when I got home. Bag was full of ornaments.
So I see our next stop, you said Heidelberg or Speyer, and it looks like you went to Heidelberg. Is that right?
We did. My mom and I opted for that one just because Heidelberg was a little bigger city and it's a university town. So there was a lot more there to see and do. Speyer is much smaller. So if we go again, we know where we're going next time.
Well, and I will tell you, there's a brew pub like right as you enter town. It's right there on the right. So we spent some time there, had some delicious because it was also raining that day.
You kind of risk that when you go in the winter.
Well, the main reason I asked that is that they were setting up the booths for the Christmas market there and they were super cute. So I was hoping you had seen them because they had little frills on them. They were like, they looked a lot more gingerbread house kind of, instead of the standard, you know, sort of plain. Yeah, they were really cute.
Well, they had them on the squares. So, but there's a main shopping drag. And so it was basically all of them were kind of paralleling that shopping drag area.
In Heidelberg or in Speyer?
In Heidelberg.
So it's the same as true in Speyer. You just straight down the main street. There's a gate at the end of the street where I think the Romans came in or something. And yeah, there's that whole main street. They were setting up those booths. And one person was.
But we also went up to the castle too.
Nice.
That overlooks the whole city. And they had a incline railroad that went up there and then came down and if you were in shape, of course you could walk, but you know, my mom and I decided to take the train.
Well, I mean, to be in shape and decide not to walk too. I'm just saying.
That's true. That option. Is very true.
Exactly.
Nice.
So then the next stop was Strasbourg, according to my notes here. So what did you think of that? What did you think of that city? So you said
that was a very interesting city because it was a study in contrast. Because you get into Strasbourg, Strasbourg proper is very, very modern. That's where the headquarters is for the European Union. There's also a huge pharmaceutical oversight building that basically oversees all the pharmaceuticals for the entire European area. And they monitor and basically, it's kind of like our FDA. Mm-hmm. So huge buildings, lots of stuff. And then you drive right past this park, this really, really cool park. And that's where the stork ceremony or stork story came from about carrying babies. That's where it came from. It was actually this park called the Orangerie that was you drove through. And then we get to Old Strasbourg. And Strasbourg is one of those cities that's it really has a very Tudor-looking feel to it, but French, of course. And it's a canal city too. So you're walking along the canals and crossing lots of bridges and everything. It was very reminiscent of Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And then of course they've got their markets all kind of spread out as well. And then, like I said, Lebanon was the winner of this year's market. So they had their own separate market for us to wander through. And that one, that cathedral is very, very interesting because the cathedral itself is very, very plain. But 2 feet away from the building itself, there's this very, very ornate Gothic facade. So you can actually walk in between the facade and the actual church. Cool. So it was very, very, when you really look at it closely, it looks very odd looking.
So Strasbourg is one of those towns right along the Rhine that was German, then French, then German, then French, then German, then French.
Correct.
So was it because the church was destroyed? Is the facade from an old church and then the...
No, I think it was built that way on purpose. Interesting. Yeah. Now, what was neat about that area is because that's Alsace-Lorraine, and the Lorrainians don't like the Alsatians, and the Alsatians really don't like the Lorrainians. It's a very, very distinct rivalry. So they were very adamant that, you know, these are Alsatian goods, and these are Lorrainian goods. So you want to make sure that you're not buying the Alsatian, you're buying ours, you know. Very, very, very interesting. But there is in Lorraine, there is actually a glass factory. And one of the prized possessions of the Christmas market is this glass factory that makes hand-blown ornaments. And they have a limit. You can only buy 3 of them at a time.
Oh, wow.
Because they're so unique and so many people want them. And I got 3. Because I could get 3, but you could wait in line and go buy 3 more and wait, you know, another half hour in order.
They're not like tracking your name and ID.
No, but you have to go get another number and you have to go through the line again.
Did your mom get 3 as well?
No, she kind of wandered by herself and I wandered off by myself. We kind of split up for the day on that one. And, because I wanted to make sure and get some beer because, you know.
You hadn't had enough on that trip yet.
So our leading question was totally well-founded.
Oh, yes, because I had to bring home beer. That was part of Jeff's Christmas present. Because I had, you know, I brought Ziplocs and bubble wrap in my luggage.
Good timing.
Yeah. So then on to Riekvier or Freiburg. So it looks like you went to Freiburg.
I did. And everybody was like, oh, well, you got to go to Riekvier. You got to go to Riekvier because that's where they filmed Beauty and the Beast and everything. But Freiburg was much more quaint. And our guide was fantastic. She and her family owned a vineyard in that area. And that's what she did for fun while her husband was a vintner. And she was talking all about the area, and she was very, very animated, so which is not very common for Germans.
Freiburg, stay with the little, like, mini canals running through them, right?
They do. They have these little tiny mini canals, and so wandering through there. And then the market, what was really neat about that particular market is they had the Christmas market area, which was kind of small. But they also had one of the biggest farmers markets, and they do it every single day.
Wow.
On the grounds of the cathedral. And there are vegetables in there that I've never seen before.
That's cool.
I know. And they, of course, they had cheese and they had the sausages and they had soaps and candies and chocolates and everything. So it was a true, and flowers. Which, you know, you would think in December they really wouldn't have that many, but they did.
That's cool. Maybe they had.
I mean, it was very reminiscent of like one of the flower stalls at Pike Place Market.
Wow.
Yeah, they probably did have like greenhouses and things.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I remember belong to Europa theme park, one of Europe's best theme parks, just for the record. So it's just really? Outside of.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I would do it in December, it'd be cold, but.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've had clients go there.
Like on a river cruise?
Big draw. No, just a land Germany tour. I don't know that you could do it on the river. How long, do you remember how long your day was in Freiburg?
Let's see. Well, we got off the ship, I want to say at 9 o'clock, and I think we had to be back on the ship at 3 o'clock,
yeah.
2 o'clock.
I'll do it then, yeah.
Well, this is the issue. So if you're coming from Basel to Amsterdam, you get a lot more time because the river is, you're not going against the current. Mm-hmm. So you actually go faster coming the other direction. And so you do get a lot more time going north. But going south, we were fighting the current as well as all the locks. And so we had very limited time, and it took us basically, 12 hours to get from Freiburg to Basel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is kind of a long time. But so in Basel, I'm curious, because since I did it the other way, we boarded in Basel and then we sailed from Basel at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So there were no actual excursions in Basel. You could go out and, you know, see the town. Was that the case for you as well?
Well, we had to get back in time because it was already the 22nd of December. We had to get back in time for Christmas. But they did offer a post cruise. You spend a night in Basel, and then they took you to Lucerne and Zurich. Mm-hmm. So you could have actually added on to that, but then we would have been bumping into Christmas, and I couldn't do that. So I had to get home.
Yeah, Basel is an interesting city. It's one, you know, I actually do know quite a bit about it because my dad worked for a chemical company, and it's a big, it's the city of science is what they call it. So there's a lot of chemical companies, Steve Geigy and Bayer, and a lot of these like pharmaceutical companies are there. So there's all these like chemistry focused things. And then there's this old town that's like really old school Switzerland, you know, and you can walk through the square and get some raclette, and it's really a cool town. So I didn't have
at 4 o'clock in the morning, there was nothing.
Right, exactly. And that was the thing, is so we flew in that morning, and the ship left at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, the night we were on the ship, and we could have gone out. There were people who went out and sort of enjoyed the nightlife, but I kind of wanted to do more of like sightsee, and we just didn't have a lot of time to do that. So I was curious if on the way back you get a little bit more time, but it doesn't sound like you do.
In Freiburg you do, but the other cities are about the same.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about life on the ship. How did you like
that? Well, it was very, I've never been on a river cruise before, so I've always done ocean cruises. So it's a whole different ball game as far as the entertainment. Mm-hmm. Now like Elizabeth, you know, I sit there and I go to bed early. I like to get in my jammies and sit in front of the TV and just relax and, you know, and then fall asleep. So I missed some of the nightlife, but my mom surprisingly stayed up.
My mom would too. She'd stay.
So she caught, there was a string trio that actually was there, and she was just amazed. She is actually was in orchestra as a kid, played violin, and she said the pieces that this violinist was playing were just phenomenal, and her finger work and everything was just amazing. She's like, well, I'll listen to the first like song or two and then I'm gonna go to bed, and she didn't move.
Wow.
She's like, it was so good that, you know, she stayed the whole time. One night Santa Claus came and brought gifts for every person. Uh-huh.
Aww. Cool. There weren't any.
Now, even
there
though
any, like, younger people on the cruise, like kids or
no kids. I think the youngest person there was probably in their late 20s. They were there with their parents. Mm-hmm. Even though St. Nicholas Day is December 4th or 3rd, I can't remember. It's right around that time frame. One night you put your shoes out. And St. Nicholas came and like put chocolates in your shoes.
How do you talk about that on our past episode? That's so cool. That's so cool.
It is. So, and I didn't think they were going to do it because, you know, the real day is actually the beginning of December. So
I think they do it on all the Christmas market cruises, like the whole season. So, which is only basically a month, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there was a big Santa Claus, hollow Santa Claus in my shoe the next morning. They always put chocolates on your pillow every night. And of course at Christmas time, they were snowmen and Santa Clauses and the elves and things like that. The food was all very locally sourced. So, you know, they were going to while we were actually out on excursions, they were going to the grocery store and getting fresh produce and fresh meat and everything to be served at dinner that night. So it really did make a difference. There's always a cocktail of the day that you can get at happy hour, and it's included in your cruise. And with all of your meals, you can get all the alcohol you want as far as beer and wine, champagne. But if you want something harder than that, or you want it in an off time, it does cost extra. Mm-hmm. The excursions were included. They did have wellness workouts every morning. So if you wanted to do yoga or Pilates or something with a certified trainer, they had somebody on staff to do
that. So how many of those did you do, Donna?
I went to breakfast.
We and I ate a lot of things in common. Okay, Lindsay can stay up later than any of us, but other than that...
Oh, well, when I'm with Lindsay, I'm awake. But no, I ate healthy. If they had salads every day and good stuff. So
if they had sunrise beer yoga, mm-hmm. you would have been.
Hey, my local brewery does have Sunday yoga.
Actually, we should suggest that to Christine Karst.
They have she has the mimosa.
Yeah, mimosa yoga.
Yeah, totally.
Amma does them.
Well, you could definitely take a beer with you up there. You know.
did you bring some beer on board and enjoy it? I know you brought some home, but did you have any on board? Did you try it after you bought it on?
No. I basically I was bringing it home as gifts. But you could, if you wanted to, or bring a bottle of wine or something along those lines to enjoy. They don't charge corkage fees or anything like that. So you know, and the staff really seemed to get along. They would kid with the guests and tease them and everything, and it really made it so enjoyable. This is the only time I've ever gotten a thank you letter, a handwritten thank you letter from a cruise line mm-hmm. that was signed by the captain and the cruise hotel manager and the cruise director all signed it. Huh. It's those little special touches that you're going to get with an Amma Waterways river cruise that I haven't seen it anywhere else.
So you didn't really talk too much about your cabin. Did you guys have a veranda or what kind of stay?
We had a veranda and the French balcony. Oh, so it had both.
Okay. That's nice.
So we could sit in the window or we could open up. But of course we didn't do that much often because it was too chilly.
Yeah. That's a good use of space though. Cause like if it's the winter and you're never going to be on the balcony, you know, it's mm-hmm. good to not have that much of your room taken up mm-hmm. by that being outside, you mm-hmm. know?
So yeah, that's where the beds were. And then there was like a sitting area in the French balcony area, but you could open the doors completely on both. So the bathroom was nice. The temperatures did fluctuate, unlike most cruise ships that I've been on. It did actually go a little chilly and then get really hot and then go chilly, and it would bounce back and forth. That was my only complaint.
That might have been you, Donna, because you might be getting to that age.
No, I like it really hot.
But Donna is not here in the room with us to strangle you right now.
I like it really hot. I take hot, hot, hot showers. And when it goes cold, it was like, oh.
Well, and you know, I've heard about how the river cruise ships use electricity, and it could have something to do with that. I mean, just, you know, trying to conserve yes. electricity and, you know, because they're trying to correct. Keep a very low carbon footprint.
Have some more blankets on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if it gets really hot, though, that doesn't help you, so.
Yes. So, and I mean, there was this little special touches on top of that. They also had, you know, the entire ship was decked out in Christmas lights. Every single door of the ship had wreaths on it.
Wow.
And whatever floor had different colors. So the first floor was red balls. Our floor was gold balls. And the next floor was silver balls. So you kind of knew which floor you were on. And my mom, she went out of the room to go like wander the ship, and she forgot to look at the number, which was under the wreath. Mm. So she had the captain or the hotel manager basically had to take her back to her room.
You know, I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened though. You know,
oh no,
such a small ship. You know, you sort of don't think about it. You're like, oh, it's so tiny. And you know, you're
I forget my cabin number a lot.
Yeah. Actually. Well, that's different. You're usually drunk.
Well, they were covered up, so yeah. You couldn't see them anyway.
That's really nice about the river cruise is that you know, you can only go so far when you're lost and you're on an ocean cruise. I mean, I have walked for hours.
Oh yes. And the other thing that was really shocking was that they didn't price gouge you because you were on the ship. So I got a massage, and a 60-minute massage was $80.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, I mean, it was really, really reasonable. I looked at the little shop. They had some jewelry that I was kind of interested in, and I had seen it in several of the windows of the stores in the towns. And I went to their website to find out what the pricing was. It was actually cheaper on the ship because they had marked it down 20%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I actually got a better deal buying it on the ship than I would have if I'd bought it in town.
I bought one of those little wooden advent calendar Christmas trees, the German Christmas trees, on the ship. And it was, I mean, it was a great price. And it's such a great souvenir. I bring it out every Christmas and set it up at the office. I love it.
So don't discount. Yeah. I mean, even though, you know, you would think, I was like, well, it's so expensive because it is on ocean liners. On river cruises, they really didn't screw you over.
I think that might be a function of they don't have you so captive, you know?
Right, exactly. You can wander off the ship and get it very easily. Well, and also you paid a premium to be on the ship to begin with. So they don't,
That is true.
So they're not discounting the fare so that they can charge you a lot on drinks. I mean, that's the expectation.
Not
with, like,
right, exactly. They're not running up a huge bill while you're on board.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you're not on.
Yeah, I mean, I think I bought one drink the entire time, because honestly, with enough wine and champagne and beer that was flowing, you didn't need it.
Yeah, I think I bought one drink on mine as well. I think it was a lemon. I wanted a martini or something, and that was the only reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, like one night during happy hour, I really liked the martini they were doing, so I drank four of them.
Really liked them.
Oh, and then I went to dinner and I had wine with my dinner. So that's why I went to bed at 9 o'clock.
All the advertising for, not that we're harping on alcohol, but we kind of are actually, all the advertising for river cruises talks about, you know, your beer and wine is included at lunch and dinner, but at breakfast, they bring out the mimosas too. You can
pour it yourself.
So your mimosa can be mostly champagne and a little bit of orange juice. It's not, you know, they're not skimping on it. So.
See, I'm more of a Bloody Mary girl, though.
I don't know that I've ever seen Bloody Marys in the morning. Did you notice?
You could get them, but you had to buy them in the lounge. Okay. So that would be extra.
Yeah. The mimosas are set up at the breakfast buffet.
I can do that.
I'm sure.
And they had a buffet usually for lunch and for breakfast, but you could also order off the menu.
Did you guys do the chef's table?
We did, and it was 6 courses, very tiny courses. It was really weird. It was like super gourmet stuff.
Yeah,
so
the chef's table
it was
supposed to be.
Yeah,
it was. I don't. I'm kind of a macaroni and cheese and meat potatoes kind of girl. So I don't think I would probably do it again. I'd rather just
eat what's
ever
right?
in the dining room. But you can go once and it's included. You can actually go more than once, but it's going to be exactly the same meal.
You think the rule is if you know what it is, it's not really a chef's table.
Yeah. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Donna, but basically they have a sign up for the chef's table and then they open it for you to go second round after they're sure everyone's had time to sign up at least once, right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. Correct. So if you really liked what was on the meal, you could probably get in like the last day. But if you were me and it was like, there was like one or two courses that were really fantastic that I would like that again. And then the rest of them were like, eh. So I went to the buff or the restaurant.
Our business development manager said her hot tip for us is to tell people to go the first night.
Yep.
And I can't remember why.
Well,
because it does fill up.
Okay. Yeah.
And people don't want to sign up the first night because it's their first night. You know, like it's the, okay. In fact, I think one of the cruises I was on, they didn't offer it the first night. They only offered it the other nights.
Oh. Okay.
So, I think that was the first cruise I was on. The second cruise, it was offered every night because
they had to fit everybody in.
Well, we had a delay. So it was when the rivers were low. And so we didn't get on the ship until the second day of the trip. They had to put us up in a hotel the first day.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, gotcha.
Yeah. So that day there was the first day. Yep. So that's
where
Outlander agents are disparate, or at least our podcast people, because Donna and George are like, just give me the meat and potatoes.
We're like, the rest of us are like,
the
chef's table experience.
I want the little
Well, no, it was, but But you had almost the same thing in the regular restaurant. I mean, they were still very gourmet meals. We had, like one night was roasted duck. Another night was, you know, you always had some kind of a meal. They always had, some kind of a chicken. There were certain things you could get all the time, like pizza or burgers or chicken. So, or chicken fingers, because if you didn't like what was on the menu, you could always get something like that, or a Caesar salad.
Menu, even though there really aren't kids on
board. Correct. That's correct.
Board, you'll be very happy.
Yes.
I don't mind trying the odd food. I just don't always like it. So as long as they have something I can fall back on just in case, I'll be happy.
Yes. So we went like one day for lunch, it was a German meal, and they were, you know, they were serving Spätzle, and they were serving like kind of an au gratin potatoes and German potato salad and sausages. So it was very, very German. One night it was very, very French. So it was, yes, you were still getting that gourmet meal experience, but the portions were bigger. It was more like what we're used to as Americans. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away, or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of George, Sandy, Elizabeth, Donna, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.